Thanks for listening to The Drive with Big Al and D-Mac, on demand, brought to you by SEL Mortgage, the leaders in Colorado of special circumstance lending, helping everyone, including people with unusual financing needs. Locally owned and operated, visit MySpecialMortgage.com. That's MySpecialMortgage.com.
It's Football at 4 with Big Al and D-Mac on Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan.
Well, let's get to it. Happy 4th of July weekend. Glad you're listening. No matter where you are. Football at 4. There was a ranking. It doesn't seem to be very analytical. It just seems to be some dude who... Mike Clay from ESPN.com wanted to rank all 32 NFL backfields. So, let me flip one page, two page, three page, four page, five page. Let me get to page 7. And look up the Denver Broncos, who he ranks at number 30. Outlook. Denver's backfield has a new look. Booker, a 2016 fourth-round pick, could enter week one as the default starter, figures to play a role this season. But it's unlikely he merges into any more than a complimentary passing down back after 3.6 yards per carry. Blah, 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 blah. Instead, look for all-time FBS rushing leader Royce Freeman. Roll Royce. To handle a hefty chunk of carries, though he's unlikely to do much as a receiver. Second-year player Henderson will be a name to watch. If either Freeman or Booker stumbles, they don't even mention Philip Lindsay, nor David Williams, who was drafted as well. Only behind the Broncos are the Houston Texans and Indianapolis Colts, Houston Texans and Colts. New Orleans Saints are one with Kamara, Ingram, and Terrence West. Rams are two, with Gurley, John Kelly, Malcolm Brown, and the Steelers with Le'Veon Bell, James Conner, and Jalen Samuels are number 3. Then it goes Falcons, Cowboys, Cardinals, Titans, Browns, to round out the top 10, Chiefs and Patriots. Al, what do you think? Is that about right? Are we the 30th best running back group in the NFL?
Yes, that's about right. It's been my big issue with this team for a long time. It's been something that I've been talking about around here this entire offseason. And we did address that need in the draft. That's a position that you can actually draft and have an impact immediately. And I believe that Royce Freeman will be the guy for the Denver Broncos. Now, Devontae Booker, by default, once again, by default, will probably start the season because he understands the entire playbook. But as a defensive guy, he doesn't scare me at all. That's the guy that I know where he's going to be. I know how he's going to run. I just need to form him up, tackle him, get him on the ground. He doesn't have the wiggle to make me miss. He doesn't have the speed to outrun me.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd look at this group, if he's your starter on day one, as a poor group at running back. But if we get into the real scope of things at this running back position, it could be really dynamic. If and when we get to Royce Freeman, it's going to be great, because Royce Freeman is a top-tier back. He did everything that he could do at Oregon to say that he was a LeGarrette Blount type of guy, and LeGarrette Blount has had a lot of success in this league, we know. And I think that he's going to have that same kind of impact on the Denver Broncos. The guys that could really change the way that we look at this running back position are D'Angelo Henderson and, of course, Philip Lindsay. I think those two guys can really give us that boost in the arm that we've been looking for a lot of years. You know, I was thinking about this, you know, the last great third down back that we had. I can't come up with a name. I can't really call Ronnie Hillman a third down back, can I?
I don't know why you couldn't.
Have we ever had a great third down? Glenn Milbourne? I mean, when was the last great?
Quentin Griffin, yeah.
I'd like them, but can we categorize him as?
Tatum Bell.
He was an every down back.
All right, Quentin Griffin. You're looking for that small specialty
third,
sort of guy.
I don't know if he has to be small. I'm just saying a great third down back.
That's who they tend to be. Quentin Griffin. Who are you looking for? Like, give
I'm
me,
looking for a Darren Sproles type of guy.
Is he looking for a
it
little?
It doesn't have to be small, though. I'm just
give
saying
me
that,
a big guy then that has that role.
I just don't. I don't remember.
Right. See, they didn't even. They list D'Angelo Henderson here, but they don't list Philip Lindsay. They don't list David Williams. I mean, I think the guy just listed three running backs for every team, which is, you know, fine. He can do whatever he wants. But let's be honest. You don't have great running backs unless you have a great offensive line. And so to just rank the running backs is kind of a silly exercise, because what really is the difference, Alfred, from 30 to 6 in terms of great running back rooms? Like, who's 6? I don't even know off the top of my head. 6 is the Arizona Cardinals.
Oh,
They've got David Johnson, Chase Edmonds, and T.J. Logan. David Johnson is off the chain. Okay, is Royce Freeman as good as David Johnson?
No.
Okay.
Not yet. I mean, to say that he's that good, I hope he is, but... You know, David Johnson, coming out of college, numbers resemble Saquon Barkley's. I don't know if people knew that, but David Johnson was, I mean, he was an off-the-chain player at a Division I AA or Division II school, but he is that guy. He's that guy.
They have a projection of how many carries the Broncos would have. They said 392. So his projection, this dude's projection, who did this on ESPN.com, is 392 carries for 1,596 yards. His projection for the Cardinals, now this is funny. His projection for the Cardinals is 357 carries for 1,400 yards. Less than the Broncos. He projects them with 11 rushing touchdowns, and the Broncos with 10 rushing touchdowns.
But he may be also telling you is that they are going to have more yards per carry.
No. Yeah, I'd have to do some math.
Well, go ahead and do your math. But he's also telling you that they're going to have also a better quarterback, so they won't depend on the run game as much.
Steve Sewell wants to chime in.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, there you go. That's a third down back. There you go.
Steve Sewell is the best third down back we had, I thought.
Steve Sewell, Steve Sewell, that's a great call for...
Steve, why are you talking about yourself in the third person like that? I mean, seriously.
I wish it was me, but it's not.
That's certainly not Steve Sewell.
You're not Steve Sewell.
Yeah.
No. Okay, great.
But he may be right. Steve Sewell, the best third down back that we've ever had. That is, that's a good call, actually. That's a good call.
All right, appreciate it. Let's do some math, and we'll see what the projected differences are between...
Best third down back, Steve Sewell.
These guys. It's the Drive on the Fan.
Sandy Clef here to tell you about SCL Mortgage, Special Circumstance Lending, locally owned and operated. And if you're self-employed or work on commission, this is the place for you. Bank statement loans are back. You don't need tax returns to do your loan. In some cases, the bank statement loans can be done with credit scores in the low 600s. MySpecialMortgage.com on the web. 303-790-2222, the phone number. SCL Mortgage, licensed by the Colorado Department of Regulatory Agencies, number 1200716.
You're listening to The Drive with Big Al and D-Mac on Sports Radio 104.3, The Fan.
Let me tell you how little it matters or how close it is when you're talking about running backs. Because you said, well, the Broncos were rated by this dude from ESPN.com, the 30th best backfield, and his projection was 392 carries, 1,596 yards, 10 touchdowns. And then you said, just number 6. I said it randomly. And his projection there is 357 carries, 1,449 yards, and you go, well, how much per carry? Okay, fine.
Per carry, the Broncos, by his estimate, will average 4.07 yards per carry.
Okay.
And the Cardinals will average 4.05.
4.0 for the Broncos,
4.07 for the Broncos, 4.05 per carry for the Cardinals. With the Broncos having one less projected touchdown. So like I said, these rankings and these estimates, the nature between running back rooms in the NFL is very small.
How would you rank our running back room last year?
Average. Okay. Average. It was just average.
Right.
And what my bigger point...
Did that have to do with our...
Offensive line.
Offensive line? Or did it have to do with our runners?
It had to do with the combination of things. Our runners were average, our offensive line was below average, and our quarterback was way below average. And the reason why the quarterback matters, if there's no threat to throw the ball, well, the duh. I mean, every team's just going to stack it up and dare you. And Trevor Siemian was terrible. And Paxton Lynch was terrible. And Brock Osweiler just was, you know, they stuck Brock in there in the toughest part of the schedule. And you know, it just didn't work out. So, no, I thought the running back room for the Broncos was fine. But just fine. It was average at best.
And just to give you an example of where we stood last year with our leading rusher, C.J. Anderson. Statistically, he stood at 4.0 yards rushing per game. The best rushers in the business last year, Alvin Kamara averaged 6.1 yards per carry. Per carry.
He's above average.
Okay. Deion Lewis from the Patriots, who ran for 900 yards, averaged 5 yards a carry. Kareem Hunt ran for 4.9. Mark Ingram ran for 4.9. Kenyon Drake ran for 4.8. The bottom line is you got to get over 4 yards. Todd Gurley, 4.7.
Yeah, how's Deion doing for the Patriots next year, for this coming year?
Oh, he's gone.
He's gone.
He's gone.
It's C.J. Anderson. Gone.
Gone.
It's you know. Le'Veon Bell got paid. Hey, they paid Le'Veon Bell. But I guarantee you it's not that big of a deal. I guarantee you he won't be the biggest difference maker.
He hasn't gotten paid yet.
He got tagged. He's making $14 million a
year. That's true.
Who's making more money than him this year as a running back?
Nobody.
So I think he got paid.
Okay. Even though the contract's not done.
Whatever. He's the highest paid player this year at his position. He got paid.
The all-pro running backs last year, Todd Gurley and Le'Veon Bell. Le'Veon Bell does a lot more than just run the football. He had a 4.0 average running the football. But he also, D-Mac, caught the ball for 655 yards. And he was targeted 85 times. Excuse me. He was targeted 106 times and had 85 catches. That's a guy who means a lot to your team.
There's no doubt about it.
So when we consider who we have.
But how many guys like Le'Veon Bell are out there?
Four or five? As far as the targets go?
Give me four or five guys that. You don't have to even give them to me. How many guys in the NFL do you think are like Le'Veon Bell? Three or four?
I would say Christian McCaffrey. You can put Christian McCaffrey was targeted.
You don't have to even. You don't even have to give me the names.
Okay,
you
I'm going to say. I'm going to say there are. Yeah, maybe three.
All right. So if you got one of those guys, cool. But if you don't, keep looking for him. If not, just figure out a way to do it by committee. That's all. And Royce Freeman may be that guy. Like Alvin Kamara went in the third round, so we're fine.
So
this ranking and where we sit and all that, it doesn't mean. But like a lick of sense.
To ask a rookie to do that.
Is what happens all the time.
The last two rushing champions of the NFL, Ezekiel Elliott and Kareem Hunt, were both rookies.
Yeah. So it was a huge mistake for them not to utilize D'Angelo Henderson and see what potential he had. Huge mistake last year.
But we're going to find out quickly about this running back group. But the running room... If it's led by Booker as your starter, it's not a good run.
Fine. Give it to Royce. Roll Royce, baby, early and often. You don't have to wait for these guys in the NFL. It's one of those positions that you don't have to give a lot of time to.
It's like saying our tight end position, if it's led by Hireman, you know, I can't wait to see those rankings.
Well, I don't even know what that means. Jake Butt's going to be the number one tight end for the Broncos.
Exactly. Like Royce Freeman is going to be the number one rusher.
It's great.
But if you throw out our Jeff Hireman as our starter, how do you feel about that?
I don't care about you're so hung up on the starter thing. I don't care.
Well, I'm just saying,
I care
but that's who how you throw the ball to. That's how you judge.
You're a tight end. Third down, red
how
zone.
How's our second blocking
for the running backs. That's
what
I care about.
How's our second quarterback?
Our second quarterback is terrible, in my opinion.
Why do you care about him?
Because if our first guy gets hurt and we got a good season going, we're toast.
But then that's why I care about the starter and who is the second guy.
Are you really comparing the backup tight end to the backup quarterback in terms of value? Really?
Seriously? I'm going to say the backup tight end should play a lot more than the second string quarterback.
Well, of course, because hopefully the first string quarterback stays healthy the whole year.
That's right.
And the second string guy never gets on. The second tight end is going to play all the time.
That's right.
Yeah, well,
so yes, I would say
apples and oranges.
As far as value goes, I would put the second tight end higher than the second string quarterback.
Okay.
Until the first guy's hurt.
We watch Pax when the Broncos are 5-1, and we watch Paxton Lynch jog out in the field. We'll see how you feel about that statement. Be like, we should have got Rosen. I know. I'm going to hear that from you.
Oh, my goodness. You're going to be
like, Bradley Chubb's going to have like 3 sacks through 6 games. And, you know, here comes Paxton Lynch. You're going to be like,
If Rosen is starting by the time that we play the Cardinals, I am just going to be like, so disappointed.
Well, you realize Rosen.
I'm going to be so disappointed.
Rosen, Allen, Darnold, and Mayfield will all be starting at some point during the season.
No, probably not Rosen because of Sam Darnold. Because of Sam Bradford.
Matchstick Boy? I mean, he's going to be the first guy to get hurt. Rosen may be the first person to start. The one that's going to be a challenge, I bet you anything, is in Cleveland. Because I bet Tyrod Taylor has a great camp and looks pretty good right off the bat.
Jarvis Landry's already coming out and saying Tyrod Taylor's looking amazing in the offseason.
Yeah, that doesn't surprise me at all. Tyrod Taylor's great.
He's a playoff quarterback.
Yeah. Baker Mayfield may be the last one to actually start.
Hashtag Baker Challenge.
It's always a challenge. Always a chip on his shoulder. Anyways, don't worry about it in terms of rankings. The Broncos running back room will be fine.
But it's something that we've been talking about around here for
this
entire offseason. We got to get production out of that room.
We don't need anybody else.
We need a special player.
We got plenty of guys in there.
We need Royce Freeman to touch the ball as quickly as possible.
You're right about that. You got to use the talent you have. Not using D'Angelo Henderson was a gargantuan mistake.
Not using Jamaal Charles was a huge mistake.
It was not.
It was too.
Totally different deal.
Huge mistake.
I'll give you this. Why was he on the team?
He was supposed to be on the team to be the second guy, but for some reason, they kept on shoving carries down Devontae Booker's throat, and he couldn't handle it. He shouldn't have been awarded those. But see, that's what I'm saying. That's the Eric Studisville deal. That's the running backs coach saying, these are my kind of guys.
Why was Jamaal
bigger
Charles?
Guy, right, bigger right, guys.
Let me ask you this. Let me ask you this.
Who are more rough and rumble than they are nimble and quick.
Let me ask you for a question after the break. Why was a veteran running back put on the roster by the personnel department last year, but that hasn't happened this year? I want your answer after the break.
Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan presents The Drive with Big Al and D-Mac.
Welcome to it. Back. What's that sound? What's that sound? Big Al and D-Mac. Round town, yeah. Trump shoes. God's plan. All right, Al. I'll restate it. By the way, I found a little candy. That's not too annoying, is it? You got everywhere like that? I'll spit it out.
Panama! Did you just put that in your pocket?
Nah, I just stuck it in the trash can.
Oh, I thought you put that in your pocket.
Nah.
There's nothing like reuse.
Dude, how is it that just all your devices bleep and bloop and go off in the middle of the show all the time?
I don't know, man. It's connected to my computer, so I can't.
Put it on mute,
even though my phone is, on mute.
How many screens do you need at the same time?
I need three screens. I'm a three-screen kind of guy. I need to be able to check you.
All right. This is a philosophical question.
Go ahead.
With our management, John Elway and friends. Why last year do you think they felt a need to bring in a veteran running back to the running back room, and this year they don't feel that same need? Because there's plenty of veteran running backs out there. If you wanted to add somebody like Jamaal Charles, well, frankly, you could just add Jamaal Charles. But there's other veterans that are out there, too. So what happened in a philosophical shift between last year and this year?
I think last year you may have had management and a head coach who may have wanted Jamaal Charles. And then you had a running backs coach who didn't want to play him.
You're not getting my point. My question is,
why bring him in?
Why?
Because you need an infusion of burst.
And so why haven't they done the same thing this year?
Because they did it in free agency and they did it in the draft.
Who's our veteran running back in this running back room?
Devontae Booker.
Okay. So they didn't do it. I don't know if you're following what I'm saying. They brought in Jamaal Charles as a veteran free agent running back who's over or close to 30, whatever he is. There's plenty of guys like that out there. Philosophically, they thought they needed to add an older, experienced guy like Jamaal Charles at a vet minimum salary, and this year they don't. It's a big philosophical change in direction. Why?
Why did they go out last year and do it, and this year they don't?
That's right. That's what I'm asking.
Because they got a new running backs coach.
Okay. And
the new running backs coach believes in his guys.
And he doesn't believe in a veteran running back.
He doesn't believe in the old guys. He believes in the guys that he drafted.
So hold on. You think the running backs coach...
That's right.
...dictates personnel decisions with running backs, not John Elway?
No, I think John Elway is on the conversation, but I know for a fact that all position coaches have a huge input on who is brought to the table.
I think you're missing the point, in all due respect. I think the change is with Elway and his staff, not the coaching staff. I think the coaching staff will coach up whoever you give, and they may pound the table for whoever they want. But
last year, I think
what Elway and gang have understood clearly.
If you bring in a veteran running back, he's going to get carries.
Yeah, well, they may understand that, but what they really understand is we don't need that guy.
Not now.
That the league is filled with young running backs. And that's the future in that position, not older guys. Not Jamaal Charles, not Willis McGahee, not older guys, and not Adrian Peterson.
Well, we'll see about Frank Gore in Miami. We'll see how that works out.
We'll see how that works out. Adam Gase may still believe in, older running backs.
What does that mean when you say older running backs?
Ezekiel Elliott, Kareem Hunt. How old is Le'Veon Bell? 26? Something like that?
If he was 30, would it make a difference?
It's going to make a difference to him when it's 30. Yes, of course.
So you're telling me that running backs that hit 30 don't have a chance?
That's right.
Oh.
In today's NFL.
I don't believe that.
I know you don't, because you love the old guy.
No, I like the guys that are talented and know how to play. How old was Mike Anderson when he was playing here? Was he 30 when he ran for it?
A million years ago.
Oh,
it's not the NFL
okay,
now.
Okay.
It's
so
not
what the
NFL
is the NFL now in your eyes?
Well, we can look at who the running backs are. Let's pick them up. Alvin Kamara, Mark Ingram, Terrence West, Saints. Todd Gurley, John Kelly, Malcolm Brown. Hit me when there's one that's over 30. Just play some sort of sound effect when I nail one that's over 30. Le'Veon Bell, James Conner, Jalen Samuels for the Steelers. Devontae Freeman, Tevin Coleman, your guy. Ito Smith for the Falcons. Ezekiel Elliott, Tavon Austin, Rod Smith for the Cowboys. Again, let me know when one of these guys hits 30. David Johnson.
How about Frank Gore?
I didn't get him yet. I got the guy. You want me to get to Miami?
How about Marshawn Lynch?
They're like nine. Yeah, he's one, and Gore's another. There's two. Should I go through the rest of the NFL teams?
How about Bilal Powell? He's 29. Does that count?
No, that's not 30.
Oh, how about LeGarrette Blount?
How old is he?
31.
Okay, he counts.
So, I mean, I think that...
There's like four of them. And I don't know how effective guys are going to be. How effective is DeMarco Murray going to be next year, Al?
I don't know yet. I don't know what team he's going to go to.
Anyways, my thinking is John Elway smartly and the Broncos smartly realize smartly that it's a young guy's position and they're going to use their guys.
I think the way...
Thank God.
Yeah, LeSean McCoy turns 30 next week.
Yeah, we'll see how effective LeSean McCoy is next year. We'll see. We'll see.
I think what you're looking at is that either you can or you can't.
The Broncos They've had many chances to go out and get a veteran running back, and John Elway has not done it.
That's
why?
Right, because he doesn't know if there's somebody who can.
That's right. He's smart. John's making many, 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 many more smarter moves this year than he did last year. Many more.
Well, the thing about it is that that room last year was just a mess.
It was a mess.
You know, so a hodgepodge of veterans and young people who there was no plan.
The
plan is Booker, go ahead and start the season, and then we're going to hand it over to Royce Freeman.
Sure.
That's the plan.
And let's hope D'Angelo Henderson and Philip Lindsay are part of it, too.
Yes. We'll see which one of those two guys can battle it out to give us. And Williams, if you can make the team, you're going to be the backup to Royce Freeman.
And let's hope that
Devontae Booker should be our fullback.
Let's hope that the Andy Janovich, you know, experiment is, you know, done. Let's hope that is over. It was a bad plan in the first place, and just move on from it.
Well, for what they wanted to do with Gary Kubiak, it was a good system. But, you know, that system led us to a Super Bowl win, and I'm not backing down by saying it's a good system that uses the fullback. I just don't know if the fullback is going to be a necessity in when we consider Billy Musgrave's offense. I don't know how important the fullback is because a lot of action happens off of the fullback.
Well, he was basically he was the least important player on the team last year.
But when you put Mike McCoy as the offensive coordinator, he will be.
Well, he was the least important with McCoy and without McCoy. Andy Janovich played the least offensive snaps.
Once your playbook is put in, though, D-Mac, that's your playbook. You don't alter from your playbook.
You can say whatever you want, but you can just look at the numbers. He was the least important player on offense
We're going to find out this year if they're going to use a fullback. And if they use a fullback, Janovich is going to be important. And if they decide not to use a fullback, he won't be important.
I hope they don't. Because it may come down to somebody like...
The Patriots use a fullback. Are you okay with
that? Who would you rather have on the team? Philip Lindsay?
Wait a minute. The Patriots used a fullback.
I didn't know we got Tom Brady. That's great.
Wait a minute.
So headline. Wait a minute. We got Tom Brady. Keep Janovich.
Wait a minute.
Sounds like a plan.
If we have Tom Brady, you can use a fullback.
Absolutely.
Okay. So it's quarterback dependent.
Yes. If you have the greatest quarterback of all time, you can use a fullback. This is The Drive on The Fan.
You know that makes no sense.
It's The Drive with Big Al and D-Mac on Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan.
All my friends, the lowrider. The lowrider is a little higher.
Have had a wonderful 4th of July week. A little weird being on Wednesday. And then some of you guys are probably going to head out of town for a quick weekend, or you probably have already been on break. It's weird with the traffic flows, D-Mac, just about how people are moving around because the freeways are light. And they've been that way the whole week. I imagine people take it on the front side or the back side. But
yeah, nobody's working this week, dude.
Nobody.
I just walked to the back office because our snack machine wasn't working.
Uh-huh.
The healthy snack machine. So I had to, you know, get a Sherpa and go all the way over to the sales office to be able to get myself a snack. Nobody's there. I mean, no, I'm one dude's there. I wasn't sure who he was. I was a little embarrassed. A lot of turnover here. But nobody's there. It's not even 5 o'clock.
What time do you think people left? Yesterday?
Well, I'll tell you, this Wednesday, 4th of July thing is weird. How does it work? I would not take this week off because so many people do. You could just leave and not have to, you know, take off that time and nobody would even notice. I mean, you know, in the 9-to-5 world. Okay. Our world's a whole different deal, you know.
I'd like to try to see how that would work.
Well, we're not in the 9-to-5 world, thank God. You're listening, you know, I mean, if you're driving, there's no traffic.
Not right now.
No, not all this week. It's great. I zipped up and back to the mountains on the 4th of July and no traffic. Zero. Flew up, flew back. It was great. Got some peace and serenity before I came back to, you know,
slaving over a microphone.
No, to picking up shrapnel onto my front yard.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah. I should bring you my baggie.
No, you can keep it.
Of evidence. I mean, of debris. Anyways. I'd love to have Carmelo Anthony back here, by the way.
Text line was not kind to you.
No, I know. People just don't understand. Right.
People do understand.
Let's walk through it. I'm going to the Nuggets game. Who am I?
You're a dad taking your son, and you go to 3 of these games a year.
All right, sounds good. So each game I go to is a big deal, not a big deal.
Yes, it's a big deal.
It's a big deal. What night of the week am I going to the game?
Tuesday, Saturday, and...
All right, it's a Tuesday night, and what month of the year is it?
February.
So my kid's in school. It's a Tuesday night, so it's a special deal because he's got school the next day, right?
Right.
Okay. But I'm only going to go to one of these weeknight games a year. And how old's my son?
Your son is 12.
Cool. Very cool. What an awesome father-son thing to do on a Tuesday night. He's probably in 6th, 7th grade, something like that. So he may be a little tired tomorrow, but okay. How much are the tickets that we just spent to go to this game? Where are we sitting?
The whole package, you're looking to spend $130.
Just for two tickets?
Two tickets.
All right, I got to pay for parking. I got to pay for parking. How much is that?
I'm just saying it's 100, call it 160 bucks, 165 for the whole night.
Just for the whole night and food and everything, that's 160 right. bucks. Okay, a Tuesday night with my son. Here comes Carmelo Anthony.
That's right, baby.
Hey, son.
He left us, man. I think you were two when he left us.
No. You know what it's going to be? It's going to be,
hey, Carmelo Anthony.
Hey, look at this, Carmelo Anthony. Oh, man. Oh, son, when you were 2 years old, he was so awesome. He's a superstar. You know, he has gold medals. He's Carmelo. He's the best Nuggets player. Hey, that's Woo! That's what it's going to be like, Al. You want to take it up a notch? All right. I'm sitting courtside. How much am I paying for those tickets?
I'm 800 bucks a game.
Courtside to fifth row. What am I paying? It's a chunk of change, right?
800 to it 300 a game.
And I am dressed up because it's showtime if you're courtside at a Nuggets game, right? My hair's slicked back.
Now you're going to boo him.
No, you're not going to boo him.
That's the guy that's going to boo him.
No, you know
the hardcore fan that's about season tickets. That guy is going to boo him.
Here's who's going to boo Carmelo Anthony. Dude on his Barca lounger in his man cave, that's the guy who's going to boo him. Dudes texting us who aren't going to go to games anyway, that's who's going to boo him. Maybe some drunks up, you know, high-fiving God up in the upper nether regions of the Pepsi Center. Maybe those guys who are liquored up, by the way, maybe those guys are going to boo him. That's it. The text line, sure, you're going to boo him, but you're not going to go to games. You're going to boo him from your basement. And as soon as he scores 25 points and they beat the Golden State Warriors, which they do once a year, every year, you're going to stand up and be like, oh, man, that's awesome. He's not going to be booed here. It would be an amazing comeback, and he would be incredibly popular.
You're just making stuff up.
But the text line people, sure, they're going to be
just making stuff up.
I'm just telling you, your
reality is skewed.
I just asked you to give me the profile of the guy who's going to the game, and you just gave me a guy who's 12-year-old kid.
I gave you a guy who But I didn't give you the guy who is a season ticket holder. A season ticket holder remembers all of that.
Maybe. But he's been a lot of money.
The season ticket holder remembers we haven't been to a playoff game since Carmelo Anthony left.
But he's going to be
more. Are you going to cheer for him now?
He's going to be more upset with Josh Kroenke. He's going to be more upset with Josh Kroenke and management than Carmelo Anthony.
No, I mean, we had our guy. He was our guy, and he left. He's not our guy
but
anymore.
But Al, season ticket holder guy is the ultimate. You're talking about a season ticket holder for the Nuggets. You're talking about a guy who's willing to spend $5,000 a year on the Nuggets.
Per seat.
That guy is the ultimate optimist. He's not booing him either. He's the biggest Nuggets fan. He's the guy that wants to see it work out more than anybody.
No.
He's the guy who wants to see them win more than ever.
You remember what it felt like.
What did it feel like? It didn't feel that bad?
Man. Yeah, it did.
No, it didn't.
You know what, man? We were sitting around here. And he was
complaining.
He was complaining about wanting to get out of Denver, and then he didn't complain at all because
He's the first man ever to really do something for his wife.
No, he's the first guy to ever complain hard enough to get out of Denver in a trade scenario.
You want to boo him, fine.
I'm just letting you know.
I'll stand up and give him a standing ovation.
The thing that you don't remember is that you don't remember these things.
You know what I remember?
Because you remember him scoring buckets for Syracuse.
I remember him taking us to the Western Conference Finals. That was kind of fun.
That's right.
Do you remember that?
Yeah, of course I do.
Do you remember that?
Of course I do. Then I remember him saying, no, I don't want to win here in Denver. I want to go to New York and lose.
Do you remember us being over at Comedy Works when you were about to get married and we're having a huge party for all the fellas to celebrate us going to the Western Conference Finals? You remember how exciting that was?
That was. And then I remember Carmelo Anthony choosing to force his way out of Denver.
You can remember good things or bad things. I choose to remember the good things.
Okay. Well, I remember all the things. And collectively, it was a good run, and he was a good player, and that time is come and gone, period. I don't think that Sacramento is going to be wanting to bring back DeMarcus Cousins. Not going to happen. Just
boo, Timmy.
On.
We have to boo him.
Move on. Next.
You know, there were guys back in the day, though, talking about sports. In fact, I'm forgetting, what's the movie? It might be Jackie Robinson, the movie, where it shows a man, white guy, brings his kid to a game, gets his popcorn, his, you know, soda, his scorecard all ready, and then as soon as Jackie Robinson comes out onto the field, he starts screaming the most racist things of all time with his son right there. Hey, that's how we do it, son. Times have changed, thank God. I can't even think of a negative thing about Carmelo coming back here. I can't. I don't even know what it would be.
I mean, we don't have to have this conversation. Just let's just put it that you are in a small
minority.
Isn't it going
to happen this summer? Wait, but that's the deal today, isn't it? That they're going to do something, and whatever the contract is, he's going to be gone.
They're going to buy him out.
What? So this isn't going to happen this summer?
Yeah, it's going to happen in the next 2 or 3 days. Dude, he's not Carmelo Anthony the way you remember him. Let's just leave it there.
I don't need him to be that. I need him to just, you know, be like you said, off the bench, give you an offensive spark. Like I need Julius Thomas just to catch touchdown passes. But, like I need
We don't need Julius Thomas back here in Denver either, okay? I mean, you're talking about liking old players. You just have old memories that are just not in line with what reality is today.
But I like old players in smaller roles. You like older players
like older players that can play. I like guys that can play, period. Now, if I told you that Marshawn Lynch was 31,
done. He is so done. That dude is done as done can
be. He's going to go for 1,100 this year.
Make it easy on yourself.
Whatever you want. Make it light on yourself.
Tiger says, whatever makes you feel a little uncomfortable.
Yeah, you don't want that bet. They're going to turn around and hand them the ball 20, 25 times a game.
Speaking of Case Keenum, here's Mark Schlereth.
It's your daily exclamation mark with Mark Schlereth, brought to you by Shomp BMW.
So I was given an assignment by my partner, Mike, to talk about Kirk Cousins versus Case Keenum. Here's the deal. It comes down to a word that was popularized by Will Ferrell when he was mimicking George Bush. And that word is strategery. I think they use great strategery. Here's the deal. If you would have gotten Kirk Cousins to come here and Case Keenum would have stayed in Minnesota, would Kirk Cousins out-duel Case Keenum stat for stat? And the answer to that would be probably not. It would be close, but I think Minnesota is probably a little bit better football team overall. Now, Kirk Cousins is going to go there and he's going to put up the numbers that he puts up because Kirk Cousins, to me, is a better quarterback. He's a more polished quarterback. But the strategery, if you will, is that you knew as an organization that you had holes to fill. You've got to find a tight end. You have got to find a running back. You have got to find an offense. You've got to find all these things. Let's say you find them. 3 years from now, Kirk Cousins is going to be on the open market again. He signed a 3-year fully guaranteed contract. You signed your quarterback to a 2-year deal. So you'll have another opportunity because he'll be in the prime of his quarterbacking career, if that is the case, to go after him. But you knew that you had more things to fix as an organization than did Minnesota. So it didn't make sense for you to sink in a fully guaranteed contract over 3 years when you got a lot of things to fix. And I can't wait to see that strategery play itself out where they get their cleats on the ground.
Mark Schlereth and Mike Evans, Monday morning at 6 on Denver Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan.